All right, so we are wrapping up our 2020 vision series today, and we have been spending some time talking about the early church and some of their core processes. And when they participated in these core processes, they experienced God's power. And so today we are going to talk about the process of mission. So hear the word of the Lord. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." And he called to him 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, John, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. The word of the Lord. All right, so when I started playing basketball, or should I say organized basketball, I was in sixth grade, an 11-year-old girl who had just played barnyard ball, and now I had a coach who was a fiery one. We were a very talented team. But the first game, I remember we were not playing to our potential. We were not playing well at all. There was something missing. So we walk into halftime. We're trailing really bad on a team that should have been beating us. And we're just expecting this guy to get in the locker room and just get up all in our faces for not playing well. But he walks in very quietly and just stares at us, which actually was way more frightening. And so he turns to the chalkboard, he grabs a piece of chalk, and he writes this. Oh. Now, for 11 and 12-year-old girls, we were like, ew, what does that have to do with anything? What is this guy doing? Well, none of us were brave enough to say anything about the fact that we didn't know what he was saying to us, but we just stared there. We just stared at him. And I think he saw by the looks on our faces that we were not picking up what he was throwing down. So he erases it, turns around and looks at us to make sure that we're still looking at him, and he writes this. That's what was missing. We were talented. We were playing okay. But we were playing without heart, without love of the game. We were just going through the motions. And when mission in the church isn't thriving, when leaders aren't leading, when servants aren't serving, and disciples aren't discipling, heart is what's missing. And we see here in the first couple of verses, I did this last time too. What did Jesus saw? What did Jesus see as he saw the crowds coming to him? Compassion. He had compassion for the crowds as they came to him. And because Jesus had heart for those people, that is why we have mission, because Jesus has heart for us. And because Jesus has heart for others, we too must have heart for others. This Greek word for compassion comes from the Latin word cum, which means with, and patio, which means suffer. Suffering with. We suffer with others. You see, we aren't called to serve because people need us. We are called to serve because of love. Notice the scripture didn't say, when he saw the crowds, Jesus knew they needed him. So, did the crowds need him? Yes. Do we need him? Yes, but that is not Jesus' motivation. His motivation is love. And so love is what our motivation is as well. Now, the next thing Jesus emphasizes is prayer. And notice Jesus doesn't say just to pray. He says how to pray: earnestly, diligently, with full desire, with a craving. Since we're going into Christmas, any of you remember being a little kid and really wanting a gift that you just knew you had to have, and if you didn't get it, you just didn't know what you would do? I always think of Ralphie in The Christmas Story, who wanted the official Red Ryder carbon action 200-shot range model air rifle. And he said it like that every single time Santa or anyone asked him what he wanted, because he didn't want anything more than that. And I think that doesn't even cut it for how Jesus wants us to pray. He wants us to pray persistently with all of our might that there will be laborers sent into the harvest. And I appreciate how real Jesus is in this passage. He acknowledges that there is a lot of work to be done and not enough people to do the work. You see, I could stand up here as one of your pastors and as the leader of the release team and beg you, plead with you, please serve. Please serve. We need you to serve. And don't get me wrong, I am going to challenge you at some point in this teaching on a serving goal. But ultimately, that would be fruitless if I hadn't first been praying earnestly for God to send you out into the harvest. If I hadn't have asked several members in this church to pray with me, Lord, send laborers into the harvest. And so now I'm asking each of you to pray earnestly for God to send them out, to send us out, to find a way to make it happen. And he will. He will thrust us forward. Each of you is a potential laborer. Each of you can be servants and disciples. And so I pray. And so we all pray that our hearts will become like Jesus's heart, full of compassion and love for others. And we pray this not only for our community, but for all communities, because the harvest is plentiful. So let's move on to the third point. And he called to him 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. You see, we aren't just called to serve without being equipped for it. We are each unique and are each blessed with different gifts. But that equipment would be worthless if we didn't have the authority of the Holy Spirit to join the mission that the Holy Spirit is leading us to do, which is to further the kingdom of God, to be disciples, to sit with people in their struggles and help them through it, and teach them about a Savior who is there with them as well. And do I believe that the Holy Spirit still heals today? Absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus healed while he was on earth, and after his resurrection, his disciples went forth as the church, and the Holy Spirit healed people through them. You'll notice that the same language that is used for the disciples is the same language that was in the way that Jesus healed every disease and every affliction. The same authority that Jesus used to heal is the same authority that we have. And healing, whether physical or emotional or spiritual, is still one of the most important pieces of mission today. So the last thing Jesus did in his scripture was create a community. And look around. I really want you to look around. You're looking at fellow servants. You're looking at our community. And just like those 12 were, we are all different. And thank goodness for that. It'd be pretty boring if not, huh? And in order for mission to be successful in the church, we have to fellowship with one another. And throughout this series, we've talked about different ways of doing that, whether you're here in worship, renovation groups, reno bands, and any time you serve through an opportunity here or otherwise, we are in fellowship with one another. And sometimes we think of mission as only serving people that are outside of our community, but it's also serving each other within this community. This is where we cry together and share our stories and strengthen each other and pray for one another so that we can build each other up here and go out there to bring others in to a community that is strong and communal. So Jesus shared this sermon with his disciples to help them see the work Jesus did while on earth, but also to teach them that mission would go on after his death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. He was preparing them, and he's preparing us today. And so mission continues because we have God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit thread throughout all of these pieces that make up mission. Heart, which is why we have mission. Prayer to him through his resurrection, because only he can make us servants through his resurrection, our baptism, and his grace. Authority and gifts from him, and a community in him. And so, Missio Dei, the mission of God, is why we are all here. And none of this is without him. And we can't have any of these things without him. We can't have a heart for others if we don't first accept the heart he has for us. We can't make each other do the work through pleading and begging. God does that through our prayers, and then his Holy Spirit thrusts us forward into the mission field. We can't heal others with our gifts. The Holy Spirit heals and meets needs through the gifts he has appointed us with. And we aren't a community without his communal presence. So today, I would like to take an opportunity to reset. I have something up here for everybody, hopefully. We all remember when we would play the video games and it just wouldn't work, right? Sometimes we have technology problems. We know that from experience. But we'd get really desperate. We'd have to hit the reset button. Or it would get really bad. We'd have to take the cartridge out and blow on it and then stick it back in. And usually that didn't work. And almost always it didn't work. But it helped us feel better a little bit. But I would like for us to take a little breath, a moment, to just sit in the truth that Jesus shared with his disciples all those years ago. The harvest is plentiful, and the workers are few. There's a lot of work. Being a servant in the world today is hard, especially when we have the heart for Jesus, because we see so many people that need Jesus, that need to know that he loves them and he cares for them. And there's hunger, and there's so much we want to do. And so we get tired, or we want to give up, and it's hard. Technology. Gotta love it when it works. So I want to take just a moment to sit with that truth. We're going to get tired. We all need a reset button. So let's hit that reset button, and remember that just as Jesus needed his disciples to participate then, he needs us to participate now. We have to dust ourselves off, and we have to get up, and we have to still grind. We've got to get out there with Jesus and still do the work, because he's leading us to do that. Participation in the process leads us to the power of God, the transforming power of God. We are called to participate in the Missio Dei. You see, that's what serving is. That's what being a Christian is, participating in the work the Holy Spirit has gone out and prepared us to do, which is to share the good news of Jesus. And I want to take just a moment to highlight some of the ways this church is participating in God's holy work now. One of those ways is through Family Scholar House. Family Scholar House is an organization that provides housing for single parents and their children as they complete their education. 504 families, 1,521 children have lived in Family Scholar House's program and been provided housing. I walk away and then I need a clicker because I've got to hit this. This is an exciting number though. You'll be happy you waited for it. 100% of those 504 families, when they go through the Family Scholar House program, they have stable housing when they get out. Now these are families that when they came into Family Scholar House did not know where they were going to sleep. They didn't know how they were going to get the next meal. But when they go through this program, those are answered. They have stability. That is an organization that we partner with. And we do that through Soul Feast, through a book club. And Sarah and Amber has done a fantastic job of building relationships down there so that we can show them and share with them the character of Jesus. We also have prayer cards out in the lobby that you can pick up and you can pray for people, and then you can put prayer cards in there and they can pray for you. And next year, we hope to start a Bible study so that they can build a deeper relationship with Jesus and maybe even for the first time learn who Jesus is. And there are other ways, other than just those ways, that maybe you didn't know about that you can support Family Scholar House. If you have good life skills like organization or cooking or you work out or you have some thrifty things that you can share with people to make their lives easier, you can partner with them to share those things with them. You can have them job shadow you or mentor with them, go through a speed networking issue where they can learn how to interview and all of those things. There are so many opportunities for how to support these folks. Fourth Avenue, Open Door Ministries. They feed 150 people 5 days a week or more. And I want to spend a little time talking about the work Steve and Steve do every Saturday through their Bible investigation, specifically a story about Rob. Rob was in the military and had an injury, and he was prescribed pain medicine. And through taking that pain medicine, over time it developed an addiction. He enrolled at the Healing Place. He found recovery. He discovered Jesus again. The Smiths, through that connection at the Healing Place, invited him here to Revolution. So he started attending. And then they pulled him into Bible investigation, and he started doing that. And through worship and through Bible investigation every week, he has deepened his relationship with Jesus, and his perspective has changed from what does the world owe me to I need to tell the world about Jesus. And now, not only is he a recovered Christian, but he shares his testimony. He is a sponsor for other folks who are dealing with recovery, and he participates in a prison ministry in Oldham County. That is the transformational power of God. Celebrate Recovery. I can't say enough about Celebrate Recovery. But I want to share with you some of the things that Micah has shared with me about her experience that the Holy Spirit has allowed her to experience through the Celebrate Recovery program. She has forgiveness. She's found that for herself and for others. She has trust again. She's opening herself up to new relationships. She has real joy. She has an awesome, positive perspective now on gratitude instead of pain and fear. That is Jesus, folks. And then Go Ministries, who you heard a little bit about last week. We got Raphael in the DR. We've got Juan here in Louisville, who are making economic change through partnerships and creating jobs. In the coffee that you drink in the cafe, one bag of Collide coffee feeds one child a whole week of lunches. That's awesome. And those are only some of the ways that the church is participating in the work that the Holy Spirit is doing. And I know a lot of you participate in mission in other ways. And at this time, I'd like to invite two of those, Rayanne and Lee Poplinski, to share the work that they are participating and how God has worked through that ministry.
Thank you. Are we on? Can you hear me? So for those of you that have been walking this journey with us for the past couple of years, God has led us into the mission field, International Eye Care Missions, and we've been doing this for years, but it started out as just that. It started out as eye care. And as Brian and the rest of the pastoral staff have mentioned over the last couple of weeks, there is a process involved on how to apply the gifts that God's given us into a need. And we've seen where we can use that as a bridge into evangelism and teaching people around the world about Jesus. And I think the last time I stood before you, we were about ready to lead a team that included members of this community to Nigeria. And so you'll see some of the fruit that came out of that team, and we've got Brandon and Brian here. So I would think if you asked them why they joined an eye care mission team, they really didn't have a lot of experience in that way. You can see we taught them a little bit about that. But more importantly, they were there to support the communities that we serve. They were there to teach others about Jesus, and they were there to build community and build relationships. And that is where God has led Rayanne and I. Our mission organization, which is now an official group, is designed to help spiritual and physical vision needs of those around the world. So we have found a way to partner the gifts that God provided with each of us, some eye care, a lot of organization, and use that for his kingdom. And if you would have asked me a couple of years ago, is that where I would have seen us going with this, I would have told you not a chance. But the one of the scriptures that we are built around is Ephesians 2:10, where we are his workmanship for works that he's provided beforehand that we should walk in them. And that's what I'm going to encourage you. You have gifts, but God didn't just prepare those gifts. He prepared a place for you to serve and use those gifts. And if you will search that out, you'll find it'll lead you crazy places like Nigeria. We're going to be taking our foundation and a team to Puerto Rico in 2019. So if those of you may feel led to join a mission team international, come speak with us afterwards. We'll be happy to tell you more about that. But that's the future for our foundation. That's the future of where God's directing us for the short run. Do I know where that's going to be for the long run? I sure don't. But I'm excited to see how he continues to grow this ministry. And we hope that folks within Revolution will be a part of that for support as well. I do want to give a shout out and a thank you to those within the community that supported us with prayer, that supported us financially, that helped these gentlemen go on the trip with us as well. So again, these are ways that when you open yourself up to the possibility, you'll never know where they're going to lead. God bless.
There's amazing things happening within our community, and we need to celebrate those. And sometimes that applause seems pretty small, but at the same time, we need to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit's working. His power is here, and we're experiencing it. It's awesome. Let me get on the right slide here. When we use the gifts that God has equipped us for, we don't just participate in meeting a need, such as hunger, economic hardship, eye care. Oh, where am I? Here we go. Okay. Eye care or an emotional void, right? That need allows us the opportunity to share the truth about God and his kingdom, to share the love of Jesus with others, and to bear the witness of the Holy Spirit. And I'm very excited this morning to share with you a new initiative that the release team is rolling out in January, because we know, like Rianne and Lee, there are other ways that our church is supporting God's holy work in our communities. So because of that, we'd like to give you an opportunity to share what those mission initiatives are so that we can evaluate those and determine if it's something that the church can support going forward. Now, sometimes we may have to say no because of resources, but we do want you to know we love you. We still love you, we still support you, and we'll do what we can. And there's also one other condition. There's always a condition, but it's a good one. Before you submit your idea, we ask that you participate in one of our release mission initiatives that we currently have, whether Family Scholar House or Fourth Avenue or Go Ministries, because as we have heard, there are exciting things happening. The Holy Spirit is transforming people's lives, and we don't want you to miss out on that. So we ask that you participate in that first. All right, so it's time for our audacious goal. But first, let's review. Oh, I don't know what screen I was on, but. Okay, so anybody know what this is? Okay, so let's say it out loud. We are joining Jesus in the revolution of transforming lives through teaching and serving. You see, this has the most important piece of participating and being in mission. We are joining Jesus. The church can't succeed without him, and the church can't succeed without you participating in Jesus's mission. So next, we have our core values: reveal, resurrect, and release. And I've spent a lot of time talking about the release portion, but notice you heard a lot of reveal and resurrect as well, because this is a beautiful cycle. When we release the love of God, when we share the news of God, when we teach people about Jesus, we learn more. He reveals more of himself to us. He resurrects more of that love, and then we have more to release. So here are our goals that we've been given through the last 4 weeks. Grow to 500 people by 2020. Connect 85% of our community to a reno group. Commit to a 30-day renovation band. Ignite Holy Spirit-filled spiritual vitality among existing leaders by helping them move forward in their spiritual growth. And unite and grow our generosity by 1% more of your net income. And so here is your serving challenge. Your serving goal is through 2020, participate in 2 serving opportunities. One through the release team, whether Family Scholar House, Go Ministries, or Fourth Avenue. And also serve on one internal serving team. And I want to spend just a minute on why that's important. I think of those type of opportunities as we think about, like Brian talked about, the toilet paper and the utility bills last week. It's not exciting or glamorous, but if we don't have them, boy, we sure miss them. So for instance, say I've invited someone to attend our church, and they get super anxious going to new places. But I assure them that yes, we are hard to find because we are in an office building, we do not look like a church, but we have signs out front. You'll see us, just drive by the signs and they'll be there. So they get in their car, even though they're super nervous about attending, and they make their way this, you know, towards the church, but something happened and we just didn't have the people that morning to put the signs out. And so they drive by, they don't see the signs, they go by again, they don't see the signs, they're too nervous to think about what their GPS is telling them to do, so they just give up. They never make it into the door. Or think about what our guest services team does. Say you've invited someone and you know that they've had a history of not feeling welcome at a church. But you assure them, we are a welcoming community. We will love on you and embrace you and be so happy that you are here. And that is very true. We are. But they're still a little bit, you know, nervous about everything. But they come anyway. So they pull in. They're like, well, I don't know how welcoming this place looks, but okay. They walk up to the door, still going, I don't think I should be here. And then, hello, welcome to Revolution. Someone opens the door for them and ushers them in. And they go, okay, well, that's pretty cool. But then someone else is waiting for them. Hey, my name is so-and-so. What's your name? I don't think I've seen you before. I'm so happy you are here. That is welcoming. That's a Jesus thing to do, right? He was welcoming. So I realize that while these teams may seem like they're not important, they are vital. And we need people to support the mission of Jesus by serving on those teams as well. And whether it's the tech team, thank goodness Micah's back there, or our worship team, or our Revolution Kids teachers upstairs, or our Impact Student Ministry volunteers, or if you're coming every week and supporting the Celebrate Recovery, we need people to serve, to participate in that work that the Holy Spirit is leading this church to do. So there's your challenge. There's all your challenges and all your goals through our vision series. This is where the church is going through 2020. And that's exciting, right? This is exciting stuff. There's one more thing, though, before you go. As you came in, you received a piece of paper and a pencil. I want you to take that piece of paper and pencil, and I want you to write your mission statement. How are you going to join Jesus and share the good news? How are you going to ensure that the church continues moving forward? Moving forward to be a church that helps people transform through teaching and serving Jesus. As we come to the table, spend some time with God. What are some things that may hinder you from completing all of the stuff that we as a church are moving forward? My mission is very vague, but I totally need it, is to participate even when it's uncomfortable. Because if I don't have the time, or, you know, sometimes that money is just really going to put me in a hard spot, or even resources. That's not, no. God is asking me to do it anyway, even though it pushes me a little bit outside my comfort zone. And after you write your mission, I want you to take it with you, and I want you to share it with one other person this week. It could be your spouse, it could be your Renar group, whoever. But I want you to talk about it. I want you to talk about this stuff. This is exciting stuff that our community is involved in. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your heart. We thank you that you have a heart for all of us here and that you have called each of us to seek your heart, to long for your heart, so that we can long for other people to share with them the news that you have for them, all the goodness that you have for them, the transformational powers that they can experience through participating in these processes. I pray, Lord, that you be with us as we continue to worship, that you show us how we can be you in the mission field so that we can further your kingdom. In your precious Son's name we pray, amen. Okay, so as you leave, there are tables. Please stop by, talk with them, see what opportunities we have, see how you can join Jesus in transforming folks and introducing who he is. Because as Spirit-filled servants, we are called to have heart, to pray, to use our gifts, and to be a community. So let's do that. And a lot of times we like to wait. You know, it's November 25th, so we got 5 weeks till we have to make, you know, change and New Year's resolutions and all that. Holy Spirit's here now. Let's join him now. He's waiting for us right now. So as we leave, let's be the revolution. Have a great week.